Welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police. I'm Mike Graham and you are...
Kevin O'Sullivan.
And here we are. It's a shitty fucking rainy,
shitty fucking
crappy day. Apparently this is
it's
the last
cunt
day.
Of a day.
Yeah, apparently tomorrow, because we're recording this on Thursday, tomorrow is the first day of spring.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've managed to get through the day without being proposed to by some mad fucking woman who then you have to marry... good fucking luck to you. But here we are. We should talk about mad women and fucking idiots. We should talk about Prince Harry, shouldn't we?
Yeah,
Harry the Herbert, as I like to call
him. Yet again, he is the winner of our prestigious Cunt of the Week award. What a fuckwit!
I know.
I mean, he thinks he's
a million pounds of a legal bill. He's got
A million pounds he spends because he thinks that he deserves royal armed protection when he comes to Britain. Well, you fucking don't.
No.
You've turned your back on Britain. You betrayed your country. You betrayed your family.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. You can't have any fucking guns.
Except for, all of this furore and all these people are going, oh, but, you know, he is the son of the king and, you know, he's in danger.
Care.
But the point is, he still fucking gets protection. It's not as if he's been stripped of it, because whenever he comes back, he will make an application whenever he comes, and they'll probably say, yeah, you can have it.
Yeah, 28 days. If he gives 28 days notice and they think it's worth protection, they'll protect him. What more does that cunt want? This is just about status.
He wants attention.
It's about status.
Yeah.
He must have the same status as the rest of the family, particularly William.
Yeah.
They all get protection. Why don't I? Because you're not a proper member of the royal family.
Right.
Because you're a fucking dickhead. And when he found out that this was going to be stripped from him, that he wouldn't get policemen with guns when he came over, he asked who made that decision. And he said, I want that person's name.
Fuck off.
What are you going to do about it then, Ginger, you fuckwit? What the fuck are you going to do, you wanker?
Yeah.
It's fucking 2024, not 1724.
They should have done the old print union job on him and gone, yeah, here's his fucking name, Mickey fucking Mouse.
Yeah.
Red ginger-faced
Well,
twat.
What would have been good with it? What's it called? The RAVAC, isn't
it? RAVAC,
organisation that organises all of this. It would have been good if the person who made this decision came forward and said, yeah, I'm Robert Jones. That was me.
Yeah, right.
What are you going to do about
it?
Right,
exactly right. But this is the other thing, and then he makes a big thing about is, you know, my children won't feel at home in Britain if they can't be protected. Well, if they don't feel at home in Britain, maybe you shouldn't have fucking left Britain.
Yeah.
And maybe they would have felt at home in Britain, which is basically the country of your fucking birth.
Yeah. I mean, the way I think
wanker.
You know, it's not their, it's not his kids' fault that they've got a cunt of a father and a cunt of a mother. It's not their fault. However, you know, Harry, the kids,
there is quite
Meghan,
a good chance they'll be cunts as well, though.
You know, they're being brought up in a cuntish environment. That's for damn sure.
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
And by the way, I'm very impressed with the cunt count so far. We're going very well. Anyway, my point is, they could come back to Britain or don't come back to Britain. Anyone could give a fuck.
I couldn't care less.
Nobody
gives a fucking shit.
And now he's going to fucking appeal.
Yeah, except, interestingly, I was talking to a lawyer about this last night, and it's not really up to him whether he can appeal. You know, this is not some never-ending sideshow for fucking Harry.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, he has to have legal grounds to appeal. And I was talking to a lawyer who says, if a judge decides he hasn't got the right to be specially treated, there's nothing to suggest there's any grounds for appeal. And so he may go to a judge and say he wants to appeal, but a judge will say, well, on what grounds? You can fuck off.
Exactly. Don't forget.
So just because I want to appeal doesn't mean he will.
Yeah, because he's already done an appeal. And as they say in America, this work appealing again in the States, I think, would automatically be classed as a fatuous lawsuit.
Right.
And I think that another appeal will be kicked out. I mean, we're going
to there's a pretty good chance that they'll say to him, look, you can't appeal this because there isn't really the reasons have been set out very plainly.
Yeah.
There's nothing in those reasons to be considered mistaken. So fuck off.
Ginger,
shove it up your ass. But next time you come, fucking, you know, give us 28 days notice and we'll see if we give you a bodyguard.
Yeah. So Ginger, just go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Exactly.
Fuck off.
Right.
Fuck off out of our
it's not been a great week for the royals, is it?
Well, because, I'll tell you what, to be serious for a second, you know, I don't really want to go into just how, I mean, they say that Kate's very ill and much more ill than we
she must be quite ill.
Well, we just had Tom Bower, the respected royal biographer, on our show, and he said that he can't go into details, but he knows for a fact that Kate is more ill than people think.
Yeah.
He said it's not that she won't recover, but it's going to probably be the summer rather than Easter. So she's in bad shape.
Right.
Obviously, the king could not attend this memorial service for King Constantine of Greece on Monday, because he's got cancer. So William would have led the flock. He was going to make a fucking speech from the pulpit, pulled out 30 minutes beforehand.
That's very odd.
Well, the word is that he had to sort of go to Kate to look after Kate.
Yeah.
Cut some kind of...
Yeah, but then they said it wasn't anything to do with her, that her recovery was going well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's, I mean, I know that there will be people out there going, oh, leave him alone and all of that. But
you can't do that.
And under these circumstances, I'm afraid you can't just think, well, let them get on with it, let them lead their lives. Because one, we're paying for their existence.
Yeah.
And two, this guy is the heir to the fucking throne.
Yeah, and their job, look, it's awkward, you know. No one is denying the royal family, William, Charles, etc., Kate, even Andrew, the right to privacy. You know, they've got a right to privacy.
But they've also got to play the game.
But they are the royal family.
Right.
So when the king got cancer, everyone went, oh, isn't it brilliant? They're now shining the light of transparency onto the whole thing. This is a new relationship with the media. They've revealed that the king has got cancer, which was a good move.
Yeah.
What kind of cancer? We don't, when they're not telling us.
Right.
So also, when William pulled out of making a eulogy to his beloved godfather, he was very close to King Constantine, who was his godfather, what were we told? He pulled out for personal reasons. That's not good
enough. No.
So, in other words, we've got that same old thing where the royal family, they want to take our money, but they don't want to tell us anything about them, and that's a problem. But to go back to that service on Monday.
Yes.
So the king's not there.
Yeah.
William's not there.
Yeah, who took
the fucking lead? Not the Queen. No. Not Queen Camilla who was there. Not Princess Anne or Prince Edward. It was Prince fucking Andrew.
Right.
Unbelievable.
You know what he's like, this guy. We've all worked with people like this, right? They just shove themselves to the front at every fucking opportunity. And the only reason they don't is because somebody slaps them down.
Yeah.
And obviously there's only two people that slap him down. One's William and one's his father, right? Now, obviously, in the absence of those two, he just thought, fuck that, I'm taking the fucking lead. It reminded me of old Al Hayes. Remember Alexander Hayes?
Yeah, I'm in charge.
When Ronald Reagan got shot, and he fucking walked straight into the White House.
I'm in charge.
No,
you're
goes,
not.
What?
You're not, actually.
Fuck yourself.
But, I mean, the point is, if nothing else, it was fucking rude.
Yes.
And definitely against royal protocol, because in a procession like that, there were lots of members of the family, there were lots of foreign dignitaries. In a procession like that, the leading royal takes the lead.
Yeah.
And the leading royal was obviously Queen Camilla.
Yeah.
The second leading royal was Princess Anne, then Prince Edward, and so on and so forth. He's not in the picture, and yet he burst forward. Rude cunt.
Yes, well, I think everybody knows he's a rude cunt, and you know, there's plenty of stories to back that up. He would no doubt say that it was a private occasion, which it was, and therefore he was entitled to fucking take the lead if he wanted to. And actually, he'll probably say, oh, well, I just happened to end up at the front of the fucking year. But he looked very fucking happy, didn't he?
Oh,
God! I've never seen him happier.
Yeah. Because
he was like, I'm back.
He still thinks he's going to get back to frontline royal duties. He fucking won't.
Yeah.
He's going to spend the rest of his life sitting on that fucking horse with his stupid hat on and driving around the royal estate in that Range Rover.
You know,
where's he going?
No, exactly.
He's always driving that fucking Range Rover. Where are you going?
I took my son out the other day in the car because he's learning to drive. And it's like a guy who's learning to drive. Just drive around a place where nobody else has got a car.
Yeah.
So you go, find a fucking car park. Yeah. Oh, I know. Drive around the royal estate and just look like you're busy.
But
he does fuck all. What does he do all fucking day?
Well, exactly right. And maybe he's just sort of driving around to see. Maybe he's got some more paedophile mates he wants to see. Something like that. I don't know.
Got to fill his fucking empty days somehow.
Possible to
but,
know.
But it, you know what? With Andrew and Harry, it's the same thing. These people, and I'm not deriding them for this because they can't help the way what they were born into, but they have empty lives. They don't have much to do. You know, cut a few ribbons, launch a few ships, open a few...
I mean, if I was Harry, I'd be running out of the house every fucking day to get away from his wife.
Yeah, but what... So all they can obsess on is status.
Yeah, yeah.
So Andrew, desperate to get to the front of that procession for his status.
Right. And actually, is so rude from what we know about him that he wants people to open doors for him, call him your Royal Highness, fucking bow down in front of him, get him his fucking tea. These people want to be waited on hand and foot.
Shall I tell you, there's a very minor member of the royal family once, Lord Linley.
I know this story, but tell it again.
Yeah. So he opened this restaurant in Chelsea. I've told you this before. He opened a restaurant.
Yeah, because he had a furniture business.
Chelsea, right? Yeah. So all the press went down there. I went down there for the launch, and he, you know, he sort of He was horrified to do it, but he had to come and talk to us.
And I said
something to him. So, David, you know, you must be thrilled to launch this restaurant. You know, how do you see it developing? What kind of customer? He said, call me sir. I should have just said, oh, sorry, sir, or something like that. But I don't know. I had a rush of blood to the head. I said, I'm not going to call you sir. How does cunt suit you? He looked a little shocked.
Yeah. That's like the time I had fucking Heseltine in the old Tent of Shame down in Westminster. And he accused me of being impertinent. I asked him some kind of question. He said, that's a very impertinent question. To which I said, well, it could only be impertinent if you were in some way superior to me, which you're not. And he looked at me like nobody had ever spoken to him like that before. He's like, shocked, you know, sort of sharp intake breath.
He's a pompous old cunt.
Some of these people, they think they're fucking entitled to whatever it is that, you know, like Harry. Obviously, you can tell by that question, you know, tell me the name of the person who's turned this down. What an entitled fucking question.
Yeah, exactly.
Go
right.
Fuck yourself.
Exactly. Well, what century do you think this is? You don't rule us.
No.
The king, he doesn't rule this country. You know, I know he does nominally. But Harry doesn't quite understand that this is a democracy. The royal family are purely ceremonial.
Yeah, right.
And that's not to say they're not an important focal point for this nation. There's something about them that unites Britain, and I do think they fulfill an important function. But they don't rule us, and that little fucking bald prick ginger wanker has got no right to say, I want that person's name. By the way, we keep calling him Ginger. It won't for much longer. He's got about four strands of hair.
He's had something done to his hair.
How long is he going to hang on to that?
He's definitely had he's had some work.
Yeah, that's right.
It looks a lot thicker in parts than it used to be. Yeah, he was fucking bald as a coot when he was about fucking 24.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Harry, you should just let yourself go bald because your hair's shit.
Yeah.
Who wants curly ginger hair?
Yeah, it's not. It's sort of dark ginger now as well. Yeah. Very weird. But, you know, he's also one of these guys. He's a bit like those fucked up celebrities that would turn up in a fucking airline, you know, first class lounge and demand to have a velvet rope put around them because he thinks people are fucking, you know, not entitled to talk to him.
Yeah.
That's the kind of wanker he is, you know. Yeah. If he was ever in a sort of, you know, first class airline lounge, that's what he would do, you know, because nobody could be allowed to be near him. He'd have to have his own special VIP section.
Yeah.
Fucking twat. And the reason people hate him so much is because he has betrayed his own family and he has said things about them which he didn't need to say. And he's just a fucking ungrateful little wanker.
And I don't see why we can't say this with our fabulous listeners, you know, cut them in on the action. You know, we, in our position, you know, we talk to journalists, we talk to the royal experts a lot.
Yeah.
And I think what we can say, as Tom Bauer just revealed and what we already knew, Kate is more ill than anybody thought, and so is the king.
Yeah.
The king is not in good shape.
Right.
He's not in good
shape. No, which is sad, you know, but anyway, we'll revisit that. Meanwhile, back in the world of la-la politics, we should talk about Rishi Sunak, who's finally woken up to the idea
Sunak.
What? You know, I forget about it.
Yeah, that was it. When he became Prime Minister, we're digressing here, but it's an amazing racist moment on the part of the American president.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations to the new Prime Minister, Britain's guy called Rashid Sunak. Go figure.
Yeah.
What do you mean, go figure?
He was on some show this week, Biden, by the way.
Yeah.
Where he was supposedly telling a story about how Donald Trump kept losing his train of thought. And incredibly, while he was telling the story,
he lost his train of thought.
And he ended up saying, anyway. That's all he can
do. By the way, Biden, you old wanker.
Right.
Why don't you stop eating ice creams? Every fucking thing he says, he's got a cornet in his fucking hand.
I'll tell you what, I mean, it's obvious now, isn't it, that he has not a fucking clue what he's doing. And he has not fucking know in any way, shape or form what he's going to do next.
Yeah, and the Democrats, a really piss-poor campaign.
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton's chimed in. They're trying to say, because Donald Trump is 79, so he's not exactly a spring chicken himself, only 2 years younger than the president, that he too has got mental decline problems. It's not true.
No, of course not.
Donald Trump, you might not like what he says, but he knows what he's fucking talking about. And he has got all of his marbles, every fucking single one. Mm. So just to say, oh, he's got dementia problems, it's bullshit. bullshit. It's bullshit. This old prick, Biden, fuck it out.
Well, by the way, the reason, or one of the things that they say about Donald Trump, and one of the reasons they give as evidence that he forgot the name of his wife, is that he supposedly forgot the name of his wife this week. And I said, yeah, well, if you've been married as many times as he has, it's not surprising you forget the name of your fucking wife. You know, don't worry about it. You know, everybody forgets people's names. Yeah, it happens to everyone.
It's
just one of those things. But going back to old Rashid Sanook, he's finally fucking worked out that there's a mob ruling London. It's only taken him 4.5 fucking months. You know, this has been going on since October, right? November, December, January, February. Mm-hmm. 4 fucking months it's taken him to work out we're going to have to stop these fucking twats from marching around London as if they fucking well own it. Because last weekend, where they occupied Tower Bridge, which, by the way, is an offence, stopped all the traffic, closed the whole fucking thing down, made a very large part of London basically unnavigable because you couldn't move.
Yep.
And the police just stood there fucking watching.
That's my point. I do not support the idea of banning these marches. You know... You've got to have the right to protest. I don't agree with a fucking word of they say. But I think they should be allowed to stage these marches, sacred right to protest and all that. But what should be happening, and this is the problem with these marches, is that the law is being broken on a serial basis. They're chanting jihad from the river to the sea, hate messages left, right and centre, and the police, a small handful of the police, stand by and do the square root of fuck all.
Yeah, right.
So what I say is these marches must be allowed to go ahead in a free democracy like Britain, but they must be properly policed, and when people break the fucking law, arrest the cunts.
Well, see, I would say the opposite to that. One, they're not really marching anymore. They're now just fucking intimidating
just
people.
Just hanging out.
And they're just hanging out and they're making it like an event. So on that basis, they should have a place to do it. So let them do it, but make them do it in a specific place. For example, go to fucking Hyde Park every once a month, first Sunday in every month or something, or up Saturday, whatever the fuck. But you can't keep holding up London and making London a fucking no-go area, not just for Jewish people, but for everybody who wants to get across fucking Tower Bridge. Or everybody wants to go down to Parliament, you know. So give them a place to do it, but let them do it in that static fucking place. Give them, they can have a stage, they can have speakers, they can have fucking microphones, and they can do it every fucking Saturday if they want.
Well, you know, I'll certainly debate that. It's not a bad idea, but the point is, by doing that, we preserve the right to protest. It is important.
It is important. Yeah, no, I don't want to ban them. The trouble is, these people won't be banned because if enough of them turn up,
how exactly
can you fucking ban
them? A lot of people say ban them. What if you ban them? Do you really think? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the police can't arrest 20,000 people or 100,000 people, whatever the fuck it is, but they do need to do something. And finally, old Sanook has worked out that he needs to fucking get on the side of the people of this country who mostly don't think that their fucking cause is just.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they all say, oh, we had 200,000 people. It's always difficult to know the numbers. But even if they had 200,000 people, you know, there's 70 million people in this fucking country who are not marching. So fuck off with your fucking
ridiculous fucking idea.
Oh, everybody agrees with this. No, they don't.
Well, this country is now in the grip of what we christened today PDS, which is Palestine Derangement Syndrome.
Yeah.
You saw that video of that ridiculous council meeting in a place called Chorley.
Chorley, yeah, which happens Lancashire. To be, is it not the old Speaker's constituency?
It's in Lancashire.
It's Lindsay Hall's constituency.
Oh, that's great. I fucking hate Lindsay
Hall. He's from Chorley.
I fucking hate Lindsay Hall.
He's a twat.
Wanker.
Yeah.
I'll
throw you out of the chamber.
Oh, no, you'll be chucked out of the chamber.
He's worse than Burko, you know.
Yeah, fuck you, Coyle. You fucked your career, you wanker. Anyway. The point is, just stop Hoyle.
Just stop Hoyle.
Hoyle's War, that was a good one as well. Anyway.
One for the literary set.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Chorley Council, I've never even heard of Chorley. Anyway, the Labour lot, you know, they're trying to like do local planning and all It's like, we want some motion of, you know, we condemn the genocide in Gaza. And then they're all going, free Palestine, free Palestine. So the council was saying, no, we're not going to have a motion condemning the genocide in Gaza, the alleged genocide, because that's ridiculous.
Right.
And so it's one of the Labour blokes go, why can't we have a motion? And this fantastic Tory councillor shouts, because this is surely not bloody Gaza.
I know.
Exactly. But what lunacy.
Exactly.
What do these fucking wankers in Chorley Town Hall think they're achieving chanting Free, Free Palestine? Yeah.
It's like all these wankers walking around with the Palestinian fucking scarves on and, you know, wearing little pins and fucking, you know, it's all this virtue signalling. No. Look at me, I'm a really good person because I hate the Israelis.
Yeah!
Because they're such bastards.
Yeah, I'm a lovely
murderers.
Person because I'm an anti-Semite.
Yeah, I'm such a nice person.
I'm holy, I'm an anti-Semite.
It's fucking unreal.
I hate Jews, aren't I wonderful?
Yeah, so I must be doing the right thing. Fucking absolute.
Did you see that silly bint who works for this estate agent in Boreham,
brilliant,
which is just north of London.
Nice part of the world.
A very Jewish area, by the way. So that estate agent serves the Jewish community there. This fucking silly cow. Amanda something her name was. She sort of posts, because Jacob Rothschild, Jewish financier, tycoon, died. And apparently a lovely, lovely man, by the way. And she says, thank God he's dead. Let's hope all the other Jews die soon.
Thinking it is one thing, bad enough. Imagine writing it down and then posting it on Facebook. What a fucking idiot.
And she said, all the other Jews and Zionists die. And when she was suspended and said, actually, that's anti-Semitic and racist, she said, I'm really sorry, I didn't know what Zionists meant.
There is literally no accounting for the inability of some of these people to have a fucking functioning brain. But let's take a little short breather because we've got a message from our good friends at Manscaped who are sponsoring this particular podcast. Hey, Kevin, 2024 is already in full swing. I mean, we're into March already now, right? It means it's time for a New Year's resolution check-in with our very good friends at Manscaped, because it's never too late to level up your grooming game and keep that bush tamed. I know how you like to do that. Manscaped's got a new lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It's every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and some turn the page up on confidence this year, whether you go for a trim or that clean shaven look. This trimmer has got you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, now's your time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code POLICE for 20% off plus free shipping. That's POLICE and manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping. You don't want to let the ball drop on your balls, do you? Now, do you know how you were doing like dry January? If you were doing dry January, I mean, I wasn't, but you know, some people like to do that. If you were, you don't have to worry because now you can do wet March. You can do wet spring because this thing is also waterproof, by the way. It's the MVP of 2024. It's the fifth generation lawnmower. It's not just a trimmer. It is your grooming sidekick. It's got two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your little heart desires. It's like having a personal stylist at your very fingertips or wherever else you actually want one. And if you want to go for the full grooming experience, look no further than Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0. In this grooming kit, you get the trusted lawnmower, Manscaped's ear and nose hair trimmer, and essential aftercare products as well. The Crop Soother Ball Aftershave Lotion, Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant, both brilliant. It's deodorant for your balls. I bet you didn't think you even needed it, but you know, you can actually see the difference. As a gesture for the new year, we'll even throw in two free gifts, the Boxers 2.0 and the Shed 2.0 toiletry bag, which is great. They know how good you've been and they're looking after you as well. Still, you know what to do. You go to manscaped.com because being well-groomed is here to stay. Insert the code POLICE, embrace a new you, definitely embrace a new trimmer. Manscaped.com, insert the code POLICE and you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. I mean, what more could you want for the spring? Spring has sprung. Now, I've got some other good news for you because you know how I like to track the success or otherwise of the sales of electric cars.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got some bad news. Apple, you know, who were working on a big new electric car, have just cancelled it. and they're saying...
They're taking a bite out.
They're just not going to fucking do it. I've got a picture of it here, actually. It looks fucking hideous. Look at the state of that. That's their electric car.
Oh, God.
Looks like shit, right?
What does that look like? It looks like some sort of silly... It looks like a skip with wheels on it.
It looks like... It does look like a skip on wheels. Very true. And also, Aston Martin have now delayed the launch of their first battery electric vehicle until 2026. Mercedes-Benz this week delayed their goal. Ford has said it's rethinking its entire electric vehicle strategy, and Volkswagen is not bringing out a new electric vehicle that they thought they were going to bring out. So it's all going a bit tits up for the fucking eco warriors, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, the truth is, I think a lot of people are realising, you know, buying electric cars was a lot to do with virtue signaling.
Yeah.
People who could afford them.
Because they were all going, look at me.
People who could afford
I'm
them.
I'm so much in charge of fucking saving the earth.
Yeah, but also the people that could afford them because they're fucking expensive.
They are expensive.
So it's always about virtue signaling. And I think it's taken a while to filter through. But electric cars aren't particularly ecological.
They're not.
The batteries are going to cause a massive problem.
Yeah.
Ecologically, there's an argument that electric cars are worse for the environment
they
than
are.
Petrol cars.
They actually are. And somebody sent me a very interesting stat just the other day, which is that, you know, the electric battery in most cars that drive around the streets of this country weighs about the same as a Mini Cooper S from the fucking 60s, right? So it weighs the same amount as an entire fucking car. And then the question comes, is it any wonder why we've got so many fucking potholes? Because we've got electric vans now going around. I mean, how heavy is an electric van?
Yeah.
Or a fucking electric bus?
That's a good point. That's
they must be
point.
Massively fucking heavy. And they're destroying the fucking roads.
Yeah, there's something deep within me. You know, I've got a car. I don't use it that much.
Yeah.
My wife uses it.
Well, you don't really need to use it.
We live in the middle of London, so we don't really need it that much. But, you know, I've always had a car, so we've got a car. And
well, you need it for going out of town.
There always was something in me, say, because Henrietta, my wife, she's going, oh, let's get an electric car. And something in me, I just said, you know what, I don't trust it.
I don't. I don't ever want to have something that I can't, because where I live, I can't put in an electric charging point, right? You can charge it on the street if you want, but most of the streets around me now have got fucking residential parking permits, so you have to buy a permit. I've got a little private road where I park my car, but I can't put a charge point on it. So what if I go downstairs one day and the fucking thing's flat?
Yeah.
What do I do then?
Yeah.
I have to get it towed to a place where I can charge it. You know, I'm never going to run out of petrol because I'm not an idiot. You know, so when you get low on petrol, you fill it up, you park the car outside your house. But if you fucking run out of a charge and you can't charge it at home, you have to get it fucking towed.
Yeah. Also, remember, politics and politicians, they're ephemeral.
Yeah.
They come and they go. So, what was it, a generation ago or so, Gordon Brown, the then Prime Minister, said to everybody, buy diesel cars.
Yes.
They're great for the environment.
Yeah.
About 5 years later, they said, scratch that.
Yeah.
They're actually terrible for the environment. So I think we might be reaching a point, a similar point in the evolution of electric cars. We will be just going to save the planet in a minute.
Yeah.
Fairly soon, someone's going to say, wait a minute, not only are they not going to save
the
planet, they're
going to
make the fucking planet dead.
What's also funny was this week, there's more news, bad news for the eco fucking nutters, because you know the Drax power station.
Oh, yeah,
the Drax
the
power
chip,
station. The woodchip power station, right? The actual organisers of things like Greenpeace and fucking Friends of the Earth have come out and said that fucking that is ecocide. They're actually ruining the planet. You know why? Because they're ripping out fucking trees in Canada, in British Columbia, from places where they've been growing for hundreds and hundreds of years. And they're now saying, actually, because trees take such a long time to grow back, it's not sustainable. Now, what did I fucking say when I got the piss taken out of me relentlessly for saying, you know, cutting down trees is not a sustainable way to supply fucking energy?
Yeah.
Now Greenpeace fucking agree with me.
Yeah,
because it takes hundreds of years to grow a forest.
Yeah, but this all revolves around sort of technical bureaucracy, right? So Drax Power Station in Yorkshire was a great big traditional gas.
It was coal-fired, wasn't it?
Coal-fired gas fuel power station. And of course, what those places are for is when these fucking useless windmills and solar panels don't work, you know, like when it's not
most
windy
of the time.
And like when it's not sunny, you have to fall back on traditional power stations. Drax is that power station.
Yes.
Now, what happened was because of our virtue signaling politicians, they go, oh, gas. coal fuel, that's not renewable.
No.
Well, what can we do? So they change it from being a traditional coal fuel gas power station to a wood chip power station, because wood chips are renewable. And as you quite rightly say, they then ruin the planet by going all the way to fucking Canada and shipping all these wood chips across the Atlantic at great ecological price. They get to fucking Europe, then they shove them into the fucking power station, and those chips spew out more fucking CO2, more carbon than any other form of fuel. So actually, the Drax power station, wood chip power station, is far less green than the traditional coal fuel power station it used to be.
Because the coal came out of the ground next door to the power station. So they didn't even have to transport it. Yeah. It was literally fucking there.
Well, the smoke that comes off wood chips is disastrous for the environment.
Yeah, of course. And now they're admitting it, but of course, guess what? We fucking subsidise the Drax power station. Every time you pay your electricity bill, there's a fucking green subsidy on
why
there.
Why does it take,
which goes to these cunts.
I don't know, but why does it, Mike, why does it take you, people like you and me, screaming from the fucking rooftops about this obvious common sense stuff? It takes 5 years before something like Greenpeace
goes,
oh, wait a minute, they might be right.
My favourite virtue signaller of the week, by the way, is the cyclist. I don't know if you saw this story. The cyclist in London who decided to film some guy driving on his Range Rover somewhere in Mayfair, I think it was, driving down the road on his phone. And the fucking cunt submits his film to the police, right? The police can't see what the other guy's doing, but they say to the cyclist, looks like you're on the wrong side of the road. So they fucking done him.
Love it. Fucking love it.
He's going to court next week.
I'll take it all back about the police, but this I do not take back. I'm fucking furious about this. So, you know that cunt who killed a cat and put it in a blender and then killed a human being.
Yeah.
They keep calling him a cat killer. He's a human killer. I don't know what his real name is, but he calls himself Scarlet Blake because he's a trans woman. He's a trans woman. He's not a trans woman. He's a fucking bloke.
He's a murderous scumbag bloke.
Yeah, if he gets upset that we're misgendering him, good, good. I'm glad he's upset.
Well, don't mention it to The Guardian, though, because The Guardian called him a fucking woman.
Well, more to the point, right? The police still classify him as a woman. Now, the legal system, to its credit, said, right, you're guilty, you're a bloke, you're going to a male prison.
Yeah.
So you can wear as many dresses and net tops as you like. You're a fucking bloke.
Yeah.
You're a fucking bloke in a dress.
Yeah.
And he's gone to a male prison. Good. So even the legal system accepts he's a man. Not the police.
No.
He's still classified as a woman. So right from the start, this fucking asshole has been classified as a woman by the police. So my point about it is, how the fuck are the police going to solve crimes, investigate crimes, if they delude themselves with woke lies?
Exactly. And do you know what made that whole situation worse? Was that when both The Guardian and the BBC failed to report that this bloke was a fucking bloke? J.K. Rowling got involved and said how ridiculous it was. The virtue-signalling gender nutters, right? They all decided that J.K. Rowling was the problem, and they didn't actually, it didn't occur to them that they're defending this horrible, sadistic, human-killing, cat-killing, fucking murderous scumbag because somebody misgendered him. He's a fucking killer, you stupid cunts.
Yeah, and what is it?
What are you defending him for?
The court case is referred to as she. She, you know, why are we pandering to that arsewipe?
I know.
Why are we pandering? You know, you're a bloke, and if you don't fucking like it, we don't fucking care.
If you take offence at being called a bloke, you've murdered somebody. You got no fucking rights. You go straight to jail. Do not collect £200. Do not pass go.
And we're going to misgender you because we think it's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
Cunt.
Wanker. Anyway, that seems like a suitable place to end. We'll be back same time next week. See you later.
See you, cunt.
Suckers.